from Katwa, we left Katwa and followed a traffic jam and got to Yajigram. And Yajigram is particularly known as the place of Srinivas Acharya. So I'd like to describe something about the life of Srinivas Acharya. If you for a moment can think about the list of disciplic succession found in Bhagavad Gita, Srinivas Acharya is next in line, following Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva Goswami, Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya, amongst those who were the next generation following the Goswamis, was a very unique personality. One biographical source says that he was the manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's compassion. So think about Lord Chaitanya's compassion and the embodiment of his compassion, what that might be. That's Srinivas Acharya. Elsewhere it is said that he's the manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic devotion. And think of the ecstasies of devotion of Lord Chaitanya. What would a manifestation of that look like? And that's Srinivas Acharya. It is said that wherever he went, whoever saw him, like the description that's there in the Srimad Bhagavatam in Chaitanya Charitamrita of a topmost devotee of the Lord, is just by seeing the person, one would be imbued or filled with ecstatic love for Krishna, just by seeing the person. That's Srinivas Acharya. Here's a description of the beginning of parts of his life. His father was Gangadhar Bhattacharya, Brahmin. And his mother was Lakshmi Priya. And they lived in a place called Chakandi, which was not so far from where we are, a little further away from Navadvip. And being from the area, he heard all about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he had him, never been in his physical presence. But just hearing about him and the ecstasy of love of God that those who had seen him, had been with him and been his associates, that they were carrying, he became an ardent devotee of Lord Chaitanya, although he had never seen him. And one day he became very inspired to go meet him, to be in his presence. So he started traveling from Chakandi towards Navadvip, and as he was approaching, he heard talk from people that were coming from Katwa and going to Katwa, that Chaitanya, or Nimai Pandit, was about to accept sannyas. And he was in disbelief. He was accepting him as the personality of Godhead. And a God that doesn't take sannyas, what is this? He was in disbelief. And as he approached closer to Katwa, there were throngs, crowds of people. But somehow he managed to get close enough to the place where the yajna was being performed, and he saw Lord Chaitanya with a shaved head, and he heard the name being pronounced. Sri Krishna Chaitanya was his sannyas name. That in itself was most unusual in the Bharati Sampradaya. It was a name other given to a brahmachari who was practicing to become a sannyasi, but he was given a brahmachari name. When he gave the name in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described that You are a most unusual person. And a very exceptional name should be given to you. You are the one who will remind one of Krishna. And Chaitanya means the living force of one who will always remind one of Krishna. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And Gangadhar was in disbelief. He didn't know what to do. He was just walking around in a daze saying, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he never went beyond that stage. He just, as the crowd dispersed after Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, he went back to his residence at Chakhandi. And that's all he could say. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And it went on for weeks. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And so everyone stopped calling him Gangadhar. They started calling him Chaitanya. And so he then became known as Chaitanya Das. Chaitanya Das and his wife Lakshmi Priya were very pure in heart and very simple in their lifestyle, and they had no material desire. They had only the desire to serve Lord Chaitanya. They were pure devotees. And after some passage of time, both of them independently suddenly developed a desire to have a son. Not material desire, a spiritual desire. And he was very surprised. So he thought maybe this would just go away. And it didn't just go away. So he confided in his wife, this desire is... She said, me too. And he said, we should get confirmation from Lord Chaitanya to see what this means. So they made a plan to go when the devotees were going to go to Puri, because after Lord Chaitanya's South India tour and he came back, that's 2 years later, then he invited the devotees to come from Bengal and see him in Puri. And thereafter, each year, the devotees went to Puri. So he was traveling with the devotees from Puri. And as he was approaching, he heard, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his pastimes. Excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. This is Srinivas Acharya. So he went to Mahaprabhu and saw him at Gambira. Even before seeing Lord Jagannath, he went to see Lord Chaitanya. And just as he came to Chaitanya said, go pray to Lord Jagannath. He will fulfill your desires. And then he called for Govinda, his servant, and he told Govinda, Chaitanya Das has a desire to have a son, and Lord Jagannath will bless him to have a son. That son he will name Srinivas. And just as Rupa Goswami is the instrument through which I have provided the world with my teachings in a written form, through Srinivas my teachings will be spread far and wide through preaching. Before they went to Lord Jagannath. And then they went to see Lord Jagannath and they offered their prayer. And Lord Jagannath was going to answer their prayer because Lord Chaitanya said Lord Jagannath would answer their prayer. They stayed in Puri for some number of days. And with permission of Lord Chaitanya, they went back to their home. In time, a child was born. And the father of Lakshmi Priya was a very renowned astrologer. Balaram Acharya was his name. Balaram Acharya didn't live in the same town. He lived in Yajigram. So Balaram Acharya did the horoscope and said, this child will be a Mahapurusha. And he will be very empowered for giving spiritual teachings to all who... This will be his mission in his life. So, as time passed... Lord Chaitanya said, this is from Bhakti Ratnakar, Srinivas will be the embodiment of pure love for me. So, even before Srinivas was born, he was famous. Even before, well, he was just still a thought, he was famous. And then he became very famous. He, in his hometown, where his parents lived, he was entrusted with a very renowned teacher, Dhananjaya Vachaspati, and he learned the basics of grammar and literature and poetic principles, education. And after some time, his father died in a great mood of separation from Krishna. So, now a young man, Srinivas, in discussion with his mother, went to live in her father's place, rather than within the absence of her husband, in the presence of her father. So Balaramacharya lived in Yajigram, and he spent his time in Yajigram. And as we just experienced, the distance between Yajigram and Shikanda is not so far. So as a young man, he heard of Narahari, and he made trips back and forth between Yajigram and Shikanda to get the association of Narahari. Among the most prominent persons in Chaitanya's association. At least that's what Lochan Das Thakur, who became not only a biographer of Lord Chaitanya, but a disciple of Narahari, he wrote that in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, two persons, Gadadhar Pandit and Narahari, were among the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. Very, very esteemed, respected member of Lord Chaitanya's, amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates. And and one of those visits, Narahari advised Srinivas, you're still a young man, but Lord Chaitanya is going to complete his pastimes very soon. So you should go see him before he departs. Go quickly. So Srinivas went very quickly, sought permission from his mother to go to Puri. And as he was fast approaching, as quickly as his young man's legs would carry him, because there weren't trains or cars or buses, he was walking, but moving quickly, thinking, soon I will meet Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And as he was approaching, he heard from the people in Puri that Lord Chaitanya had concluded his pastimes. And he was devastated. And he thought, the Lord of my life is gone. What is the use of life? And he began thinking in some drastic way to commit suicide. So the biographies describe, he had a vision, or some say he had a dream. And those of you that know Bengali, shapna chale, whatever that means, in the pretext of a dream or a spiritual vision, something like that, Lord Chaitanya appeared and told him, don't despair. I want you to receive spiritual guidance and training in the Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. He's waiting for you. Because Lord Chaitanya, before he disappeared, he told the same to Gadadhar Pandit very soon. This Srinivas, who I predicted he would be born. Soon he will come, and I'm giving you some service so that you can sustain your life after I'm gone, in other words. Your service is to train him in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, on that instruction from Lord, he continued his journey to Puri. He met many of the devotees in Puri. He personally met Gadadhar Pandit, and that meeting of Gadadhar Pandit is very amazing, the description. Both of the two personalities being so intimately connected with Lord Chaitanya, affection for one another was just astounding. But when he entered into the temple, Totha Gopinath temple, he saw Gadadhar Pandit looking very unhappy and very mean and thin and in a mood of despair, feelings of separation from Lord Chaitanya, the Lord of his life. And they both felt the same feeling, and they connected very immediately and very strongly with one another. And he, to fulfill the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Gadadhar Pandit began instructing him in Srimad Bhagavatam, but it was difficult because as he would read, tears would flow from his eyes and they would fall on the pages and smear the pages. So it was difficult. Bhagavatam was getting all messed. So Gadadhar Pandit said, there's another copy with Narahari, it's very rare. Go back and get the copy so we can continue. But by the time he got the copy and was entering into Puri, he heard that Gadadhar Pandit, out of separation from Lord Chaitanya, left this world. There's all these separation events, again and again, repeating. And he fainted and thought, this was sustaining my life, but now Gadadhar Pandit is also gone. I should just give up my life. And Gadadhar Pandit then appeared in a dream and said, go to Navadvip, and Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, they will instruct you. So he carried on. And there's so many places. He dilly-dallied. He didn't just straight go to Navadvip. He was visiting, because he was a Rasika personality, and he wanted the blessings of each of the persons who he met. Just like there's a little child here, and every time I see him, he just looks at me and says, blessings. Where is he? Is he here? Maharaj Blessings Das, where is he? Huh? He's outside, getting blessings from something. Okay. So, eventually he made it to Navadvip, only to hear that Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya had both left this plane and entered into their Nitya Lila. And he was devastated and thinking, why should I remain without their association? And then they appeared in a dream and instructed him, go to Vrindavan and you'll get instruction in the scriptures from Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So he somehow maintained his life. And while in Navadvip, he spent time with all the devotees in Navadvip that were still remaining there. Mari Gupta, so many. And he spent some time. Ishat, the Vishnu Priya was still remaining. So he visited the house of Mother Sachi and Vishnu Priya. And by this time, Sachi had also gone. Again, he had a dream in which Sachi appeared and encouraged him to continue in his work on behalf of her son, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Vishnu Priya, and she heard of Srinivasa's glories, and being in one another's presence, they were so much appreciative of one another, and she instructed him in so many ways of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and her deeply realized descriptions of his identity and his end. So from each of these, he stayed there for some days and watched how, at least one account says, that each grain before she would cook, she would chant the Hare Krishna mantra over the grain, put it in the pot, and however many grains that was, that's what she had for her meal after offering to the deity. We saw the deity in her temple in Navadvip. And so many associates there in Navadvip. And he then was advised, because Kardaha is just outside of Calcutta, and he wanted to see the wife of Nanda, Janava. Janava encouraged him, go quickly to Vrindavan, because Rupa and Sanatan may not remain long in separation from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Go quickly. But there is one message that I have for you to carry for me. And the message that he was to carry was for Abhiram Thakur. Here in this place, we'll hear something about Abhiram Thakur and Raghunandan. But Abhiram Thakur was another empowered, very unusual personality. He had a whip. You've seen a whip before? You know what a whip is? It has a handle and a long piece. Commonly there it's made of leather, but other things. And that's a whip. Like sometimes the rider of the horse hits the horse with the whip, like that. Sometimes they just use a little stick, but sometimes it's long and it's... So he had a whip, and it had a name, Jaya Mangala. And as soon as he saw, he whipped him. And then he whipped him again. And then he whipped him a third time. And the wife of Abhiram Thakur said, that's enough mercy. Because one who is whipped even once, this Jai Mangala imparts ecstatic love of God. And you've whipped him three times. That's more than one person can contain. Triple ecstatic love of God. That's enough. And he delivered the message from Janava to Abhiram Thakur. And as long as he was in Kardaha, he came again to and visited Srikanda and saw Narahari and, you know, went around town and all over the place and seeking the blessings from everyone. And Narahari said, you better hurry and go to Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatan may not remain very long. Same thing that Janava said. So he went and took Shin from his mother. He was so determined, he asked, you go. And he made a few detours along the way. And he went to Benares and spent some time at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, the same Chandrasekhar Acharya who performed the sannyasa initiation, later moved to Benares, and there Lord Chaitanya stayed for 2 months. No, 2 weeks. Some period. And he heard from Chandrasekhar all about Lord Chaitanya's visit. And then some other devotees, and by the time he got to Vrindavan, he received word. Rupa and Sanatan had left the world. And Kashishwara Pandit left the world. And these great devotees of the Lord were gone. And he was devastated. But Rupa and Sanatan appeared to him in a dream and said, you take shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, creation, and our younger nephew, Jiva Goswami, he will train you in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is important. The many things are important. But the basis of his Acharya presentation was beautiful recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very beautiful. Rasika. Deep presentation of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, along with some kirtan. Whereas the other two, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda, they principally communicated their message through songs. But Srinivas primarily through the Bhagavatam, and he had this very excellent training. And Jiva Goswami requested that he take training in deity worship from Gopal Bhatta, and Gopal Bhatta requested him to take scriptural training from Jiva Goswami. And after all of these blessings and these deep feelings of separation from so many great devotees, he became the foremost of the three disciples of Jiva Goswami, Shiksha disciples of Jiva Goswami. And then after some time, Jiva Goswami gave them some very important service. Take the message of the Goswamis and spread it throughout the land. Because one of the contributions of Jiva Goswami was establishing a library. Fortunately, things of the Goswamis were preserved by the vision of Jiva Goswami of the necessity to do that, because there weren't printing presses, so he had many scholars, or many scribes rather, taking up the task of making many copies. And he kept copies on a bullock cart and sent them off to perform their mission. And as fate would have it, on their journey to Bengal, what's between Bengal and Vrindavan is some dangerous tract of land called Jharkhand, and it's not the most gentle people in between. But by the time they made it to Vanavishnupur, they understood this is a Vaishnava king, so now we're safe. But they didn't know what the real deal was. He was a Vaishnava for sure, but there was something else that wasn't so good. He had a band of dacoits under the protection of the king that would perform legal robbery to strengthen his treasury. And this rumor was spreading that there's some great treasure that's entering into your kingdom just now. So he astrologer check, and indeed there was a great treasure. So he sent the robbers in the dead of night when everyone was sleeping, and they took the bullock cart and presented the bullock cart to the king, who saw this. He thought, wow, gold and jewels, and I want to see what's inside. And when he opened it up to see what was inside, he saw it was books. It was the greatest of treasure, more than any jewels and gold and any other such valuables. It was the most valuable. The astrologer was right. But the consideration was different in the mind of the king. But then two things happened. He read some of the literature, and he was transformed just from reading the literature of the Goswamis. And then he had a dream. And in the dream, an effulgent personality appeared, which he understood intuitively in the dream. This is my spiritual master. Soon I will find my... Because he was a Vaishnav, after all. Just had a little other stuff going on the side. So when the three woke up in the morning and the bullock cart was gone, they were devastated. But Srinivas encouraged them and said, I'll find out. I'm convinced. He did some reconnaissance and said, the king probably can help you find where the literatures have gone, because he's a great devotee. Plus he's got some thieves and maybe they helped. So he said, I'll go to visit the king and you all can carry on. And they were then to different places. Narottam went to his home place, Katuri, and Shyamananda was to cover Orissa. And then this part of Bengal was going to be Srinivasacharya's place. So while Srinivas remained for some time just checking out the scene in Vishnupur, Vanavishnupur, he happened to meet, by providential arrangement, a very nice Brahmin named Krishna Ballabha. And Krishna Ballabha said, you speak Srimad Bhagavatam so nicely. I think the king, Virhambir, he would like that. Because he employs one very expert Bhagavatam reciter named Vyasacharya. And he speaks Bhagavatam very, very nicely. And every day there's this wonderful recitation. So maybe that way, if I do it to him, we can have some nice association with the king. And maybe then the king will help you. So, Srinivas accepted that invitation from Krishna Ballabha. And they went into the king's assembly, and he just sat along with us. And he heard Vyasacharya speak. It was revolting. It was speculation. And it didn't at all follow the commentary of Sridhar Swami, which at that time and from prior to that was the accepted commentary. And he attended the classes for 2 weeks. Finally, he couldn't help himself. So he didn't publicly, but he went directly to Vyasacharya and said, you know, basically, you're in Maya. But he said it diplomatically. He said, apparently you're not aware of this commentary of Sridhar Swami, because everything that you're speaking has no reference at all to Sridhar Swami's commentary, and it's just speculative. And that's not how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, what to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. And the king overheard the conversation. So the king came right up and said, Vyasacharya, what's this? You're a noble Brahmin, and here's another qualified Brahmin who is questioning the validity of your presentation. And Vyasacharya got really angry. Anticipating that Vyasacharya was going to say something not very nice, the king said, what is your objection? And he said, we have to speak according to the previous acharyas, and this is the system of disciplic succession, and how can we do otherwise? And then the Vyasacharya said, if he's got such a really good explanation, let him show how good his explanation. The king said, that's a very good suggestion. Let him speak. Tomorrow he'll speak. So the next day he spoke. And the king had never heard, and the other members of the audience had never heard anything like not only the eloquence of Srinivasacharya, but the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, imbued and embedded within the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the king said, keep going. The class went for several hours. And the king said, you can give class tomorrow too. The Vyasacharya was not a happy man. But the king was a very happy man. And in course of time, hearing from Srinivas, number of days, his consciousness became cleared, and he began to understand that this is that very same person that I saw in my dream. So he wanted to honor him, and he said, if there's anything that I can do, please come and have lunch with me. So he accepted the invitation of the king, and the king said, if there's anything to do, please let me know. He said, well, as a matter of fact, there was a bullock cart full of literatures of the Goswamis, and I'd like you to help me get that bullock cart back. And the king did one of those things. I'm responsible for the theft of those books. My men did it, my bidding. I'm, you know, rest assured they're safely kept. I just wanted to find out who is the author. And now I understand you're the presenter of those writings. And I wish you to accept me as, if not only a polity, as your disciple. And he was accepted as a disciple. And he was given the name Chaitanya Das. So King Virhambir was his name. King of Vana Vishnupur became Srinivasa's initiated disciple. And his wife became his initiated disciple, and I don't know what happened to Virya. But many persons in his kingdom, the prince became his disciple, and you know, the king was interested in pure devotion because he was, after all, a Vaishnav. Now Srinivas has the books, so he let Naratam and Shamananda know the books have been found. So then copies of the books were then made in the appropriate languages in Orissa for Shamananda. Now Srinivas comes back to Yajigram, which is the place that he spent most of his childhood, and his mother was still there. After some time, they came to hear that Vishnupriya, the wife of Lord Chaitanya, wife of Lord Chaitanya, had disappeared from this world. So the mother of Srinivas at that time expressed to Nadahari here in Shikanda that she had, before she left this world, she had one important desire to be fulfilled, that her son would become married, because many or most of the followers of Lord Chaitanya became renunciates, certainly the Goswamis and many, many others. We'll hear when we visit Ambika Kauna how Lord Nityananda took it when Lord Chaitanya said, "You should be married," thought this was like a punishment or something. So Srinivas didn't take it that way. He understood there's a plan of the Lord somehow in all of this. And he went to Katwa and he visited Gadadhar Das. Immediately upon, because Gadadhar Das was also such an amazing personality, immediately he embraced Srinivas. And they spent days together discussing Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, Lord Chaitanya's compassion, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Krishna Katha, their feelings of separation from Lord Chaitanya. How can one serve him properly in his absence? And before returning to Yajigram, he confirmed two things. I give my blessing that you get married, and the time will come, you will be a great, great and powerful exponent of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It had already happened by his accepting the king Virhambir as his disciple. So he came back to Yajigram, and Raghunandana Thakur, who resided here at Srikanda, made the arrangement for his wedding, and he was married. After some time, a son was born, and Jiva Goswami was contacted. Jiva Goswami gave the name for the child, Vrindavan Bhalava. And after some time, a second son was born. However, the first two sons, while still very young, died, and then there were three more daughters from her name was Puri. Now here's a little detail. He, Srinivas, initiated his wife. But it's a misunderstanding that some people have that he married his disciple, because that's not to be done. The spiritual master is the father, and the father doesn't marry the daughter. But he was married and then initiated his disciple. And then in time there were five children. One of those, the three of those were sisters. And the eldest of the sisters was Hemalata. And those of you that saw the deities in Jajigram, you may remember seeing a little deity of Gopal, or actually kind of a large deity of Gopal, blackish in color. And that was the deity that Hemalata, Takarani, worshipped. And Hemalata became guru in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. She was not an ordinary personality. She was an extraordinary personality, as was Srinivas Acharya. And so many men and women became her disciple. Extraordinary, not ordinary, but that's a historical event in our disciplic line. One of the things that we saw, well, two things we saw. As we entered into Yajigram, where his temple is, there was a big banyan tree with a cement seating place around it. And then there's the road in front. So if you went into the temple area, up on the left-hand side, above the altar, there was a picture of Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya having morning Bhagavatam discussion. And passing by on the road was a wedding procession with all the pomp and splendor of wealthy people, what they do when there's a wedding. And it happened right in the midst of the Bhagavatam class. So Srinivas spoke loud enough so that the person who was being married and his wife to be could hear. And his comments, just see that the foolishness of such people who spend all of their fruitive earnings for some temporary thing as a wedding, with the expectation that real happiness is going to come from such expenditure of time and energy and wealth, when the real purpose of life is just passing right through their fingers. The real goal of life, of self-realization and attaining love of God, is simply forgotten. How unfortunate. So, he heard that the wedding party, the wedding continued, the wedding procession continued, the wedding took place, and at the end of the day, he was thinking only of the message that he heard from Srinivas Acharya. So he came back the next day. Ramachandra later became Ramachandra Kaviraj and wanted to hear further from Srinivas. So Srinivas obliged him and he became convinced just very quickly, because he was a very qualified person. The real purpose of life is not material enjoyment. The real purpose of life is God realization. So he just stayed with Srinivas and he became his disciple. And his wife became disciple too. And that's going to take a whole other bunch of time to tell the story of how his Govinda Kaviraj also became a devotee. But we'll do that another time. That's another nice description. But Govinda Kaviraj also became, his brother also became a great devotee and wrote songs that we sing, when we sing from our songbook. Srinivas Acharya's influence. And so with these, then Ramachandra Kaviraj became intimately connected. This is another very nice dimension of our Krishna consciousness life. Although Srinivas Acharya was the Diksha Guru of Ramchandra Kaviraj, he developed deep affection and love for Narottam Das Thakur. And we hear in Anilo Premadana, Ye Anilo Premadana, where Narottam Das Thakur is feeling separation from Ramchandra, like his brother, his dear friend, they were so close. And you can see maybe you did see when we were standing looking at the deities up on the right, there were three drawings, not photographs, but Narottam Das Thakur Sharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj. So he accepted, Ramchandra Kaviraj accepted Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru as equal, just as Harivilas was describing yesterday. And exactly, and you know, there's the example of what the teaching says when it's being done properly. No tension, no anything, because they're transparently pure personalities. They have no interest but Krishna. Perfect. Very elevated Vaishnava. After some time passed, I'm just going to, because of time, I to conclude. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream, Srinivas, another dream. And in the other dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him to accept a second wife. And that was certainly part of the culture of the time, and Lord Chaitanya's recommendation within his dream. And it is also said that through confirmation from other, some senior disciples, that two of the sons of Ishwari had died, and it would be nice to have a son continue in your line, so he accepted a second wife. And from the second wife, some sons have come. And so there's lines of the family members of Srinivas Acharya. So we don't, that's very wonderful, but the essence is not in what family you're born, the essence is your Krishna consciousness. Just, we heard from Advaita Acharya, he had three sons that were very exalted devotees and three that he rejected as impersonalists and offenders. Advaita Acharya. So it's not the family in which you're born, but it's the Krishna consciousness that you are able to receive in the course of your life. Cultivate properly, under proper guidance, in a proper mood of progressing in spiritual life. Srinivas had a number, had many, many. He went back to visit many disciples. He went back to visit the king, spent time in his kingdom, and expanded Krishna consciousness there. He went to Vrindavan again, spent time in Vrindavan, and inspired and enthused, because after the departure of the Goswamis, things can diminish. After the departure of great personalities, things can diminish. So one continue to inject Krishna consciousness for Krishna consciousness to continue generation after generation. So Srinivas did like that. And great personalities consider in that way, to continue the forward progress, generation to generation, of Krishna consciousness. So Srinivas performed that wonderful service. Now, it's 20 minutes after 2. And it takes, depending whether you're riding in a car or a bus, takes 2 hours, 3 hours to get back, just to have lunch. And then tomorrow's another day. So I'm a little inspired to speak something about the place where we are, but I'm of two minds whether I should or should not. And maybe speak another time or something like that. What should I do? Huh? Speak and you take prasadam later, or leave and take prasadam when you get back sooner? Okay. So, those that have to do translation, you know, good luck. I don't know how you're going to do it. Jagatananda had an idea that maybe, where's Jagatananda? Where? Oh. Maybe you can just do a Hindi translation anyway, you know, with your speaker, and then that means some people won't hear it, and then you have to do it again. Anyway, Telugu group can sit together, in your bus because it's, you know, 2-3 hour ride back, and Tamil can sit together and do a translation together on your way back, and then the Hindi group will have to scratch their head, figure something out. Anyway, you'll figure something out. Let's just speak something about this place, Shikhanda, and particularly Narahari Sarkar, Narahari Thakur, but his family name was Sarkar. There were three brothers. Mukunda Sarkar, and a less known personality, Madhava Sarkar, and Narahari Sarkar. And Raghunandan Thakur was the son of Mukunda. Mukunda is known as the royal physician. He was a Vaidya physician. And you know the story from Chaitanya Charitamrita that one time he went to serve the king, Muslim king, and as he was taking care of the illness of the king, the sun became very hot. So a servant came and brought a large peacock fan to shade him from the sun. Saw the peacock fan, he thought of Krishna, and he went into a state of ecstasy and fell to the ground. And the king got off his throne, and Mukunda said, are you okay? And he said, I have a disease, something like this. You know what epilepsy is? Epilepsy is a disease where different things happen, but you just go blank. Epilepsy. Just like a seizure. So he said, I have this disease, something like epilepsy. And said, I'm okay. I'm okay now. And the king said, I know better. You're a great devotee, and you just saw the peacock feather, and you got so moved in thought of Krishna that your consciousness went so deeply in Krishna that you lost external consciousness. And that's why you fell to the ground. You're a great devotee of the Lord. Oh, Mukunda continued in his service as a physician, but continued in his pure devotion, and growing in his pure devotion. And he had a deity of the name Radha Gopinath. And the Radha Gopinath deity, the pujaris here have a system, we just learned, that for 15 days they're on the altar here. This is Madan Gopal. And then 5 days in the middle altar, this over on the other side, and then 10 days over at the Govinda temple, Radha Govinda temple. And then they come back here like that. Every 30 days they're on rotation. So that deity was worshipped by Mukunda. And because he had from time to time to go, like physicians have to do sometimes, to some other distant place, he had to leave early. He requested his son, Raghunandan, to do the worship. He said, you've been sitting by my side every day watching. It's very simple. Your mother will make all the arrangements, and your young boy, you can just do what she says, and that you offer the food that she prepared. Like that, it's very simple. So, he did exactly what his father said. He received the boga from his mother and placed the boga before Gopinath and said, please eat. But nothing happened. So he said it again, very sincerely, please eat. Nothing happened. And he started to cry and, please take the offering. And he said with such purity and sincerity of devotion that Gopinath ate the whole offering. And there was nothing left on the plate. And Raghunandan was very happy and brought the plate to his mother. And he accepted everything. And she was thinking, he's just a little boy. Maybe he ate everything. Raghunandan, that is. And when Mukunda came home, from his travel for the day, he was expecting to receive the offering as Mahaprasad. And his wife said, I don't know what happened. Raghunandan said, Gopinath ate everything. And Mukunda wanted to chastise his son, but when he came before Raghunandan, he was so innocent and pure, he couldn't. He said, tell me what happened. And he said, everything that happened. He said, all right, well, here's a laddu. You offer the laddu. Please, you go do. So he went the same procedure. Please eat. Please accept. And the deity was just standing there. And three times, and finally the deity reached down and took the laddu and took a bite. And Mukunda was watching from behind the door and said, aha! Gopinath is taken directly from Raghunandan. You're such a devotee. The Lord has directly taken the Gopinath, dropped the rest of the laddu and... So, Raghunandan became very famous. So famous, all over the land, that Abhiram Thakur wanted to come and meet him. And Abhiram Thakur not only had this Jaimangala whip, but he had another practice. And the other practice was he would pay obeisances before a Shalagram Shila. And if the Shila worship wasn't going on properly, the Shila would crack in pieces. And if he came before a young person that was not a pure devotee, internal associate of Lord Chaitanya, when paying his obeisances, his head would explode. So Abhiram Thakur, let it be known, I want to meet Raghunandan. Whoa. So Narahari had Raghunandan go to some distant place, and just when he knew Abhiram was going to come, and Abhiram came and said, I'd like to meet Raghunandan. He said, oh, he's just out of town right now. But Raghunandan heard that Abhiram Thakur was in town, and he came running. And Mukunda was going, oh no. And we were going to visit, but because of time and circumstance, we'll just gesture over in that direction. There's a tree under which Raghunandan came running and paid obeisances before Abhiram Thakur, and Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances to Raghunandan. And nothing happened. Except ecstasy happened, and they stood up and they embraced one another. Transcendental happiness. And then the fame of Raghunandan spread even more. He's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And a pure devotee of the Lord. He's just a young boy and he's famous. So what to speak of all the rest of his life? So the two brothers and the son, that is Narahari, Mukunda, and Raghunandan, one time when going to Puri together, along with all the other devotees, and they met with Lord Chaitanya afterwards. A very famous exchange found in Chaitanya Charitamrita was, Lord, who is the father? You or Raghunandan? And he said, Raghunandan. Because from him I have received Krishna consciousness. I received the seed of bhakti. So he's my father. And I'm the son. Lord Chaitanya said, you're right. And this is the way of transcendental life. Biologically something, but spiritually is far more important. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya said, he gave three different instructions to these three different family members. Said, Raghunandan, you just perpetually engage in deity worship. That's all you need to do. And Mukunda, you earn material and spiritual wealth. And Narahari, you stay here in Puri and associate with the devotees so you can develop your skill in preaching. So these are three primary activities that are required in the Hare Krishna movement. deity worship, spiritual and material wealth, and preaching. So one out of the other thing, or a combination of them. But it doesn't make one greater, one lesser, because one does this and doesn't do that, or does that and doesn't do something else. From the transcendental perspective, they're all transcendental. They're all very dear to the Supreme Lord, and according to the service one receives, which is common to one's propensity, then you do that in service to Krishna and achieve spiritual perfection and become happy and leave the unhappiness behind, the misery of material existence behind. Two other things. Over that direction, when we're leaving, we'll go past Pukur called Madhu Pushkarini. The Ini is a diminutive, a little pushkar. Pushkarini. And Madhu, because the Hari Sarkar in his Leela with Krishna is Madhumati. And Madhumati was a very intimate servant and associate of Radharani. That's who Narahari is. So one time Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came here to Kanda to visit Narahari and the other devotees, because amongst the six kirtan parties, six or seven kirtan parties in the Rath Yatra time, one of them was just the devotees in Sri Kanda. And if you are a little bit tuned in rather than dodging the rain when you go out, you can see it's like Vrindavan. There are temples everywhere. And there's so much, the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and the mood of Lord Chaitanya is the mood of Krishna in Vrindavan throughout all of Sri Kanda. And that's so many generations later. What was it like when Narahari was here? So they came to Sri Kanda to associate. And Nityananda, in the mood of, he entered into mood of a Balaram, and he wanted madhu, he wanted honey, like the pastime in Vrindavan, he wanted honey. And Narahari was brilliant. He went to this pond and he took some bucket of water and it turned into madhu, and he gave to Balaram and he was eating honey. And from that time, the pond became Madhu Pushkarini, the miraculous effort of Narahari to transform the water into honey for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. Then another event is at the time of the departure, the disappearance of Narahari, such a great devotee ceremony to honor the departure of Narahari. And it was organized by Raghunandana. And the short version of it is, devotees came from all over the place. All over the place, in the speaking of the Bhagavatam and the Kirtan and full and a wonderful festival in honor of Narahari. Loved by everyone. And when it came time for making the offering to the deity for the prasad before it being distributed to everybody, Raghunandan, while the kirtan was going on, went to Narahari's samadhi, which is, as you go down this little lane to the left, up, there's an altar, Madan Mohan altar, and down on the right hand side is Narahari's samadhi. So he brought the plate to offer to Narahari. And he pleaded, please accept. And Narahari appeared. And he accepted the prasad from the deity that was offered to him on his departure day. I mean, after he has departed. Raghunandan was on another platform of consciousness. And so many of the associates, by empowerment, it's just something briefly about Lochan Das Thakur. another principal biographer of Lord Chaitanya. He was born in a nearby place, closer to Katwa, but still nearby place. And as a small boy, he was married. It was the practice at the time. A small boy and even a smaller girl. They didn't live together, husband and wife. Don't worry about it. In fact, they were so little, he didn't even know what she looked like. And then he had no interest enough. He came over here to Sri Kanda and just stayed in the association of Narahari. And he was perfectly happy being in Narahari's association. But the parents of the girl didn't forget that Lochan was married to their daughter. They were getting an anxiety. Our daughter is of age now to be with her husband, and Lochan Das seems to have forgotten her. That's her husband. So they came and spoke to Narahari and said, "Hey, what's up? You know, please do something. This young man is in your care. He's supposed to be with our daughter, his wife." So he said, "I'll speak with him." And Narahari didn't. He could see right away, Lochan, "No, thank you. I have no interest." He said, "Well, at least you should go and express this to her parents." So that was an instruction which he carried out, and he went to the town, the village where the girl was from, and he didn't know where to go, left, right, or, you know, what the parents looked. He could remember. He was just a little boy when all this happened. We saw somebody walking and asked, "Where is the home of Mr. So-and-so?" But he addressed her as mother, because that was the training. A young boy always, any woman, regardless of age or any situation, is mother. Vaishnav training. She said, "Oh, the house is down there, and turn left and right, and so there you'll find the house." So he went to the house, and after he got to the house, shortly after, the little girl came to the house. And the parents said, "Well, we know that you're not attracted, but what about our daughter?" He said, "Oh, that's your daughter." He said, "I just addressed her as mother, and I can't be married to my mother. That's how I see her." And the girl could understand, this isn't going to work. So they said, "Go." And he came back here to Sri Kanda and was very happy. And in course of time, his devotion was such and his skills were such that Narahari requested Lochan to write a biography on the life of Lord Chaitanya, which he did in the form of a song. Now, the translation, at least in English, but it's songs of different meter and different melody and just telling the story of Lord Chaitanya's life. The factual nature of it is less than Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the sweetness of it is superlative. I don't know Bengali, but even just, you know, reading the translation in English, it's very, very sweet. So Lochan Das Thakur resided here for a long time in Sri Kanda, and many long great devotees who resided in this area, and thus to this day a place of great Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I mean, even as we were walking in, people were saying Gaura Hari and Nitai Gaura, and some even said Hare Krishna, but you know, they're Gaura Bhaktas. Nice. There's probably some exceptions. It's Kali Yuga, but it's very strong.